With Montana News, I'm Maxine Spire. It's been a bad year for osprey after record flooding in some parts of northwest Montana. That's according to the scientists and educators with the Montana Osprey Project, who have been studying osprey chicks in the Clark Fork watershed for more than a decade. At a wastewater treatment plant along the Clark Fork River in Missoula, a mother osprey is flying in low circles above her nest. On the ground, behind tanks of sewage, nearly two dozen elementary school kids, scientists, and a few employees from the wastewater facility watch as Delete Guccio goes up in a bucket truck to look into the osprey nest. The nest sits on a man-made platform, on top of what looks like a telephone pole. Guccio is the program manager for the Clark Fork Watershed Education Program. In the summers, she works with the Montana Osprey Project, leading field trips and collecting blood and feather samples. Before going up, Guccio warned a group of young campers from the Montana Natural History Center that she's not sure what to expect.
We actually have not gotten our eyes on the osprey chick. What I did see is projectile poop off the nest. So I'm assuming it's there. That's all we know. So we'll see what happens, okay?
Raptors like osprey can have three or four chicks, but less than a third of those will make it past their first year. And Guccio often finds herself peering into empty nests or going up only to discover dead nestlings. This year has been especially bad.
It's been a hard season and due to the flooding in this stretch of the Clark Fork and in sections of the Bitterroot.
That's biologist Rob Dominick. The Montana Osprey Project started back in 2006 when Dominick, the founder of the Raptor View Research Institute, teamed up with Eric Green, an ecologist at the University of Montana. With money from the university, the Butte Area Superfund settlement, and the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, they started monitoring osprey chicks. They collect feathers and blood samples from the chicks to test them for the presence of heavy metals, like copper, lead, and mercury.
The vein is, this is a 26-gauge needle, and it's just a...
That's a slow draw.
The ongoing study of contamination from mining brings raptor biologists to dozens of osprey nests each summer. Altogether, they've tested over 450 osprey chicks. But Dominick says so far this year, they've only been able to get samples from about 15 chicks, far fewer than in past years. Dominick says what's also unusual is the age of the nestlings that they are finding. Usually, he says, the chicks will all be about the same age from nest to nest. But this year, the hatching timing has been erratic. On the same day in nearby nests, he'll find a chick just emerging from an egg, while other chicks are almost 2 months old and almost ready to fly.
You know, the only thing that's different from year in, year out, is the excessive flooding, which we haven't seen since 2011. And in 2011, we had the same sort of thing. We had nest failures, we had staggered hatching dates. Between nests, and a lot of osprey that just didn't seem to nest. You wonder if
as Guccio is going up in the bucket truck, Dominick and another wildlife biologist, Adam Shearing, are on the ground, laying out a blanket and vials and other instruments for taking blood and feather samples, measurements, and banding the nestlings, if there are any, with blue and silver ID tags. Up high in the bucket truck, Guccio is smiling. She holds up two fingers. Guccio grabs a hold of both osprey chicks and settles them onto towels in a gray Rubbermaid container before bringing them down to the ground. This is Guccio's fifth summer working with the Montana Osprey Project. She says osprey are a great way to check on the impacts of mining in nearby waterways, because they're at the top of the food chain, and osprey chicks are fed entirely on fish from within a mile of their nest.
The problem with heavy metals is that they ingest it, but we can't excrete it, so it stays in your system. And so the further up you go in the food chain, the more units of that heavy metals you have in your system. And so we look at them to see how contaminated our rivers are.
The chicks that Guccio pulls out of the Rubbermaid container now are mottled, gray and brown, with sharp beaks and wide, round orange eyes. They're each the size of a football, with flopping, uncoordinated wings and large feet and talons that Dominick says, like puppies, they'll someday grow into. Dominic thinks that these chicks are about 2 weeks old.
That's, Rob, this one is the big one.
Oh my goodness, look at that. So, we have one that's even smaller than that. We may not.
Yeah, you'll have to.
We'll have to check
as
that
he,
out.
As he, Guccio, and Shearing get to work weighing and banding the birds, they talk through what they're doing with the campers circled around them.
Or this gal. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Anyone else here knows how to differentiate between a male and a female osprey?
Some females are bigger than a male. Some females are bigger than
yeah,
a male.
Yeah, the female adults are bigger, you're right. What else?
Guccio says community
thing?
Outreach is a huge part of the osprey project. Funds from the NRDP, the state's environmental remediation program, go towards bringing in summer camps like this one and teaching about the lasting environmental impacts of mining. As part of their educational efforts, the Montana Osprey Project even installed two live streaming nest cams to help connect with a larger audience. Guccio says this year, those nest cams helped biologists observe behaviors they'd never seen before.
What we've been exposed to until this year is that the female's always sitting on the nest and feeding the birds, but the male is most singularly responsible at fishing and bringing the fish to the nest.
But Guccio says this year, a nest cam showed the female also leaving her chicks multiple times to go hunting and then returning with fish.
So both parents are making the effort to go and fish.
Guccio says this is likely because of how severe the flooding on parts of the Clark Fork was this year, making it hard for the osprey to feed their chicks.
And so the river is really high, it's really fast, it's really turbid, very hard to see fish. And
at the water treatment plant, as the chicks are returned to their nest and the bucket truck backs away, the mother bird circles back down to check on them. On a tree 100 feet away, her partner, the male osprey, keeps an eye on things as the scientists pack up. Dominic says he doesn't know if these chicks will make it or not.
It's hard not to root for the underdog. They'll make it. I think they're going to make it. A lot of times I find myself wanting to be a little more positive than maybe I should be. But
maybe Dominic is right to feel a little optimistic, even after a bad season. After all, this year, for the first time since the project started, two tagged birds have returned from their migrations and set up nests of their own.
Both were banded in 2013 on the same day, J6 and J4. So, I mean, of 450 birds, this is our first breeding record. So it really gives us an idea of how hard it is for these young osprey to actually make it to be contributors to the population.
To learn more about the Montana Osprey Project, you can visit our website at mtpr.org. I'm Maxine Spire, Montana Public Radio.